that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's a song by David Crowder, and there's a line in it which reads, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure." And today we're going to talk about Rapha International, and it's a ministry that reaches out to victims of human trafficking. And they share Jesus with these little ones. And many of them find hope and healing because of Jesus that's shared with them. And we might talk about it a little bit more later, but Rapha, I want you to know that Rapha International experiences a 95% success rate of kids that come in and then move on to something else. And compared to a non-faith-based rehab place, which only experiences maybe a 20% success rate, and that's a generous number. So I want you to know that Jesus is the key component when we reach out to people, which is the power of the cross. So what Rapha does is they take in these kids and they give them a home and a place to stay. It's a safe place. They have guards. And they have different cottages on their campus. And so they each have their own home with a family mother assigned to them. And then they have sisters that they live with. They provide social work and counseling. They provide education and life skills, where many of them go on to do things like teaching or counseling or doctoring. Many of them have gone on to do lots of really great stuff. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But Isaac, if you could please, could you pull up the picture of Fally? And that is hard to see. And I apologize for that. I had a hard time. My Google Drive wouldn't upload this morning. And this is the best I could do. It's black and white. It's kind of blurry, but this is Fally. And when Fally was a young girl, she was crippled at birth. And I don't know how well you can see it, but she's in a wheelchair. I wish you could really see her smile, because that's priceless. But she was sold into slavery and forced into a begging ring onto the streets of another country in Thailand. She was born in Cambodia, but they trafficked her to Thailand, which, if you can imagine for a moment how traumatizing that would be in and of itself. Young and crippled and alone and going to a whole new country where they speak a whole different language and just kind of thrown out onto the streets to forced to beg, where how many people stepped over and looked over her and passed over her, and till Rapha finally happened in her life, and they welcomed her onto their campus and took care of her from there and shared Jesus with her. And when I went to Cambodia, I got a chance to meet Fally. And it was such a wonderful experience. And we played a little bit of catch with each other, and she had that same smile that you can see here this morning. And that's because Rapha shared Jesus with Fally. And Rapha, by the way, means healing, which is appropriate for what this ministry does. And as we partake of communion this morning, I just want to reflect on, we talked about how God sent his Son that we might have eternal life. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that has become a reality for Fally and many of the other girls that Rapha International reaches out to. Jesus, because of the cross, has given us this incredible hope for an eternal life with him. And as we partake of communion this morning, I just want to reflect on really that incredible gift, that generous gift that Jesus gave us, and worship him as we remember. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The cross changes lives. The cross gives us hope. No matter what we've been through, no matter what may have happened to us, or maybe whatever we have done, because of Jesus, we have hope of eternal life. Thank you, God, for that. Lord, right now, we just want to come before you respectfully and give you our love as we just remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Lord, we want to receive you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to hand out both the bread and the juice at the same time, if we could, please. And then we'll partake it together after. Jesus' body generously broken for us. and his blood shed to give us this kind of hope, a new life in Jesus, shed for us. God, thank you again. More can I say than just thank you. Thank you. We love you, Lord, and we're just so grateful and want to worship you, Lord, for an opportunity to give us a new life. Pray, God, that that would just be a reality, Lord, in our lives and in our hearts and our souls. Help me, Lord, as I share this morning. Please, Holy Spirit, please show up and just kind of be in everything that happens from here on out. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaac, you can take down the picture, if you will, please. And can we grab the light there in the back, please? So again, this morning, just the middle button, if you compress the middle button, that'd be great. Thank you so much. So as we mentioned, this month our extra giving is going to go to Rapha International. And I've already explained a little bit about what that is. They're based in Thailand, Cambodia, Haiti, and they have a place here. They're based in the United States. I went to Cambodia in 2017. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning. Now, I've got to say, Cambodia was arguably the best experience of my life. Not only was I able to support a mission that I am passionate about, and I was able to build priceless relationships, but there was also some really cool cultural experiences as well. You might wonder why I don't have shoes on up front this morning. And the reason for that is one of the things they do in Cambodia is when they go up front, they take off their shoes out of reverence and respect for God in worship, which is why I am without shoes this morning. And one of the things I kind of appreciate about their customs, I had a number of really fun and unique experiences. I was introduced to tarantula as a food dish. I don't really recommend it, but it was worth trying, I guess. You know, just I've had the experience. I experienced a fish massage when I was in Cambodia. That was really cool. You stick your feet in water, and the fish just come and kind of give you a massage. It's kind of a neat sensation. I also got a real massage, which was the best of my life. They know what they're doing when they give a massage. And I got an hour massage, and it probably only cost me about $7 for the best of my life. I'm not even lying. And I got to go to Angkor Wat, one of the ancient wonders of the world. That was really cool and fascinating. Mesmerizing. That was neat. And somehow, I became famous for dancing. Like, who knew? So when we go and hang out with the kids, they love to sing and dance. All right. So of course you've got to jump in and dance along with them. Well, I'm not very good at dancing. So I basically just copied one of the other guys and tried to just steal his moves. And somehow they loved it. And I became famous for dancing. So we started out in Siem Reap, and then we went to another campus at Bottom Bong, and somehow they knew about me in Bottom Bong. So, I mean, there was, I still don't know how to this day, and I do not want to demonstrate to you this morning. So Cambodia was really, really a neat experience, but I want to share a little bit about the mission this morning, and I do want to be up front in that this stuff cuts deep. The stuff I'm going to talk about this morning is really hardcore. And I just want to say, if you feel like you need to step out at any time, I want to extend that invitation to you this morning, because I don't want it to get too heavy. If it's just gonna, you know, that's not my intent. And if you feel like you need to miss out on this service, like, please, I will not be offended. And I want to extend that invitation with all my heart. But it is, I do feel compelled to speak about such things, because I believe that God meets real life, hardcore stuff head on. God does not back down from the stuff that might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. The stuff that is very, very heavy, God does not back down. Jesus meets real life head on. And I feel compelled to share, to be a voice, an advocate for those that cannot be for themselves. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." And so this morning, I do feel compelled to share, even though it's a little bit heavy and a little bit uncomfortable. So first, let me provide a little bit of background. In 1975, the Khmer Rouge, under Pol Pot, seized power in Cambodia after taking over the capital, Phnom Penh. Under Pol Pot's communist rule of terror, he abolished money, private property, religion, and forced urban folks into rural areas, which later would be known to be called the killing fields. As they are called, as they executed the educated people in masses. The regime was brutal, enforced labor, torture, and mass executions. I'm not going to go too much into detail there, but there was some really, really bad stuff. In particular, minorities were targeted, but especially educated people were killed. Doctors, teachers, even people who were suspicious of being smart. It's true, though. It's sad, but true. And out of the 7 million people who populated Cambodia, an estimated 2 million were killed during this time. Some people think maybe up to 3 million. Consequently, even when the Khmer Rouge were overtaken in 1979 by the Vietnamese, Cambodia was left in shambles. And they would later have big time difficulty recovering, with all the educated people killed off. And they would revert back to their Buddhist ways, and Cambodia was left impoverished. All that to say that Cambodia is still in a desperate state today for many, which feeds into this epidemic of human sex trafficking of children. They're poor and they're desperate. And so they can get coerced fairly easily into things. They'll have guys come up to them and promise them, "Hey, if you come with me, I can get you a good job. If you come with me, I can get you into an education, and then you can get a good job." And they use all different kinds of ways to coerce. And a lot of them then get trapped into a brothel, something they never agreed to. And sometimes, by the way, this is where Buddhism has become a problem over there. Which, by the way, over 97% of the people in Cambodia are Buddhist. And they believe in things like karma, or like, if you, so these girls that get bussed away to a different community, Well, they owe the taxi driver, right? And if they can't pay, they're forced to work. Because in Buddhism, if you have to pay a debt, I mean, you've got to pay it because they believe in karma. And if you don't pay it, then you're going to get bad luck. And so they're stuck. And so they're forced to work in the brothel because of this mindset. So what Rafa International does, it used to be Rafa House. I wore the shirt today. They changed their name to Rafa International because they're in multiple countries now. What they do is they take in these girls, and as I mentioned, they provide them with a home. They provide them with different job skills. And they run a preventative kids program for kids that are vulnerable to being trafficked. They do some preventative stuff. And as I mentioned, they just share Jesus with them. But it's very, very well thought out between the counseling and the education that they give them. And, I mean, like, they're professionals in what they do. I participated in one of these preventative outreaches and played with the kids for hours. Not unlike our own kids. They love to swing, get picked up and twirled around, and run. I remember handing out bags of rice, too, which I have some pictures of over there, and praying for them. Again, these are people that are at risk. I also remember stepping into one of their campuses. Now, this is for the victims. And what a beautiful place it was. Swings, beautiful, colorful classrooms where the kids can learn. They had cottages where the kids lived and an art room where they could do therapy art in a quiet place, a playground. A lot of them enjoy sports. Beautiful campus. And they welcomed us with handmade flowers, which I also have over there still. It's on the table. And we played with them and got to pray for them too. But I couldn't help but be haunted, wondering why each one was there. Each one had a traumatic story of abuse that landed them at Rafa. Sipporn was coerced to a brothel, promised work or an education, and so she set out to go at only about 13 years old. Some of them are as young as 5 or 4. When she arrived, it was a brothel, and she was trapped because, as I mentioned, in Buddhist culture, it's bad luck if you wrong someone and cannot pay the taxi. And so she had to work as a sex slave. Finally, after a couple of years, the brothel was busted, and she was rescued and sent to Rafa. She learned she was pregnant. But Rafa was there every step of the way, and Sipporn bravely and courageously chose to have her baby and made the impossible decision as a teenager to lovingly give up her daughter for adoption, and now her little girl lives in the USA. Rafa provided a parents for her, and she's doing well. She loves to dance, and she's taken care of. Sipporn went on to become a Christian and became a strong advocate for other girls, a victim to sex trafficking. Amazingly, she shares her story. She's traveled throughout the United States as a teenager to thousands and thousands of people sharing her story and advocating for other victims. Now, she's actually gotten married to a man from Australia. And impressively, Sipporn, unbelievably, was able to extend forgiveness to her perpetrators and found a lot of healing and freedom in that. Nayland lived in a very rural part of Thailand. She was one of four children and lived with her mother. Her father had died when she was 8 years old. Now 15, she acted as a caretaker for her younger siblings and a helper for her mother. Although it didn't seem possible, Nayland longed to go to school. A man and a woman came to Nayland's village one day. When they approached Nayland's mother, they asked her about her children. After being introduced to Nayland, they explained that they were there to recruit bright young women for placement in a school in a large city. Nayland was enthralled by the prospect of going away to school, but her mother was hesitant. Although Nayland knew she had missed her mother and siblings terribly, she eventually convinced her mother to let her go on what she believed would be an adventure. The very next day, Nayland had gathered a few belongings and boarded a small van that already had three other girls her age. There was a buzz of excitement as they set off. When they arrived at the city, the girls were left for weeks in a rundown house. They never saw the couple again, but several adults came forward and went from the residence. Came and went from the residence. They asked them when they would start attending school, but never got any answers. One day, a man came and picked up Nayland. He drove her for many hours on a rural road. They arrived at a town, and Nayland was guided into a small hotel. She was sexually assaulted by many men in exchange for money. The man forced her to stay there and took all the money she earned. Nayland had no way to contact her family. She was alone and felt hopeless and helpless. After almost a year, an official from the Thai Ministry of Social Development and Human Security was alerted of the situation. Through the efforts of local law enforcement, Nayland was rescued from the brothel and placed at Rafa. In addition to the man who trafficked her, Nayland was able to help identify the couple who had recruited her and other adults involved in her trafficking. Justice is important to Rafa International. It's a big component. At Rafa, Nayland worked with her counselors and social workers to begin the process of healing from her trauma and to start building a vision for her future. Nayland is determined to teach other people, especially young girls, about the dangers of trafficking and the tactics and deceptions often used by traffickers. While Nayland worked to reclaim her life, Rafa's social workers helped to re-engage with her mother, who was also relieved to hear from her daughter and was devastated to learn what had happened to her. It's also very important to Rafa to try to reunify these kids with their families. When it is safe, she will return to her mother and siblings, and Rafa's social workers will find resources near to Nayland's mother that will help them find stability and support. When Nayland returns, she will be an advocate for freedom and protection in her community. Nayland's story represents the experiences of millions of children victimized by human trafficking. One more story, and then I'll share some closing thoughts. Ratana was a blind girl. God help. In a Buddhist village, and frowned upon because of her blindness. You see, in Buddhism, it's bad karma. If you're blind, then you must have done something wrong in the previous life. And so her mother let men take over the house to rape her and beat her. Until the last time someone came in there, he chose not only to just rape her and beat her, but to gouge out her eyes as well. It was then, and only then, when someone finally stepped in and brought her to Rafa, where she was eventually baptized and came to know Rafa as her family and came to know Jesus, where now she knows what love really is. A love that's pure, a love that's kind, a love that doesn't have ulterior motives. And this is what Rafa does. I want you to hear that. This is what Rafa does. This is what God does. He meets people in their deepest hurts and pains. He meets them right where they're at, and he offers a way for them to be healed and know what love should look like, what love actually is, that it does exist and that it's real. And that's what I want you to hear about what this ministry does. And it's close to God's heart, too. I'm not going to go too much into detail, but in Judges chapter 19 and 20, there's a brutal, brutal, brutal raping of a Levite's wife, concubine, and several of the men brutally raped her, and she died the next morning. But here's what I want you to hear about God. It's important to God. This is one person. But 400,000 people all throughout Israel and their tribes unified together to fight for justice. Justice matters to God. God is just. And even though they met resistance with the Benjamites and the thousands were killed, they had to go into Benjamin three different times. But they were resilient, and they kept at it because justice matters to God. And eventually, they did serve justice. As I mentioned, God deals with this stuff. He meets it head on. Justice matters to him. And God is a God who sees. God is a God who hears. That was one person, but God saw. God saw what happened to her in Judges chapter 19. As I had mentioned before, 95% of the girls that come to Rafa end up coming out on top and never going back to the sex trade. Many of them are actually offered a new life and hope and something that they can look forward to. So my question this morning is, what do we do with this? First of all, as a church, we're trying to support this ministry. We designate a month every year to give. And I want to suggest that we can come alongside Rafa, support him, even just with our giving. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Secondly, if you're like me, you might find yourself angry and spiteful when you think of the guys that are responsible for this unspeakable evil. There's rage that stirs up within me. But Scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, that vengeance belongs to the Lord. God is just, and he will repay. So maybe what we should consider instead is what Jesus preaches in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when he says, "Love your enemies and pray. Pray for those who persecute you." Listen to this. Blah went to Hong Kong to pay for her family debts, but she was conned and forced into prostitution. They locked her into a closet when she wasn't doing her prostitution. And she prayed to God. And listen to this. One of her handlers became a Christian and let her go. We can pray. We can pray for our enemies. And instead of my anger, though it might be righteous anger, I don't know how much that, but prayer, if it can change a life of a handler, who knows? Maybe he could go on to set a whole brothel free. You know, there could be power in prayer. I would rather see someone repent and come to know Jesus, even though they've done unspeakable evil things, and for maybe a whole brothel to be rescued and recovered, than to just be fuming about it and angry about it and not have the man repent at all. Because maybe it could have a ripple effect, if that makes sense. Jesus asks us to pray for our enemies. And men, we need to try to honor women. We can do our part in living holy lives. Scripture calls us to be holy, and I'm telling you, holy is not just a church word. Holy is very relevant and practical. Just ask some of those girls at Rapha International or some of the victims currently. Holiness matters. Try, men, to resist sexual temptations. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. I do. But I'm asking us to at least try. At least try. And if you do give in, I want to encourage you to pray for that person. Humanize them. Don't objectify her, though. We can at least pray for her and start that process. One of the reasons I became a coach for 5th and 6th grade girls basketball is because I wanted to be able to build them up positively. And, you know, just try to encourage them along in their identity and try to share love with Jesus where maybe they wouldn't have to feel vulnerable to being victims themselves or giving themselves away. I want to share with them a love that's pure, a love that's from God, a love that is true, a love that is right. And it's one of my incentives in wanting to be involved in that way. Maybe there's something that you can get involved with to just simply love someone who might be vulnerable to that. And lastly, if you have suffered abuse, I want to share a couple of psalms this morning. One from 103. Verse 6, which says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who have been oppressed." And in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I want to say that you matter to God. And like some of these Rapha survivors, I want to suggest that God can do that for you too. There's this idea, this concept, it's called re-virginization, where the idea is that you can become a virgin again in God because he makes you clean. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27, it says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." And I want to close with that. And pray. Thank you, God. I know this is hard stuff. But I thank you, God, that you don't shy away. You meet these things head on, God. You care. You see. You hear. God, I want to pray for victims around the world today who are caught in trafficking. I pray, Jesus, for your rescue. I pray, God, for your comfort. For those, maybe even right now, experiencing abuse, God, that you somehow would move in and give them some kind of comfort and peace and light. That they had somehow come to know you, God, and the freshness of your salvation. Lord, if there's perpetrators out there right now, I want to pray for a strong conviction for a lot of these guys. Something that weighs heavily on their hearts where they would be convicted big time. And maybe come to know repentance and try to change their ways. And maybe, I don't know, Lord, maybe you could do something there with that. But we do want to leave vengeance for you, God. Help us in that. And Lord, help us. Help us, God, to know what action steps to take, whether it's in our personal lives or whether it's in reaching out to others. Lord, help us to take action and to take on the heart of Jesus, to not ignore, but like Jesus, to have compassion. Help us, Lord, in that. Thank you, Lord, that you do provide healing and wholeness and hope. Thank you for what Rapha International does, Lord. I pray your blessing, Lord, on that ministry. Fill that with your Holy Spirit. Bless the workers, Lord, day in, day out, who have to deal with this stuff head on. I pray, God, for your grace and your wisdom and your help for them. Thank you, Lord, again, for a chance to worship you today. Amen. We're going to close with a song. It's called Broken Girl by Matthew West. And for me, it's a prayer. It's a prayer for those that are Rapha right now or who are vulnerable or who have been abused.
amazed by how grace can take a broken girl and put her back together again. This is a song for the broken girl, the one pushed aside by the cold, cold world you are. Hear me when I say, you're not the worthless they made you feel. There is a love they can never steal away. You don't have to stay the broken girl. You don't have to stay the broken girl. No, you don't have to stay the broken girl.
Thank you, Nate, for sharing. This is a call to us to get engaged, to be involved in the world that we're in. There's more to Christianity than coming to church and having a devotional relationship with God during the week where it's just me and God, me and Jesus. There's a world out there that needs believers who are engaged and helping and doing what's in our power to do. It's also a call to holiness. Nate mentioned holiness. And you know where these girls being trafficked, you know where it starts? The side that's really not mentioned a lot of times is men. Men who get involved in pornography. It starts many times with pornography, and that leads into other areas and other arenas. And they think it's just involving them. It doesn't just involve them, because it leads to other stuff. It destroys families. It destroys homes. It destroys people's lives. And men, we need to be men of purity and holiness. And to somehow break any addiction that might be there with pornography. It's an addiction. We need to break that addiction and stand firm in our faith and be men and women of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I could preach a sermon here, but I don't want to do that. Nate's done a good job sharing his heart. Lord, we pray that somehow, Lord, we could be a light in this dark world and punch holes in the darkness wherever we see it, and let the light of Jesus shine through us and in us. And we pray that as we leave this building, this won't just be another sermon that filled a little need in our lives, a little devotional need, but Lord, that we would really examine our hearts, our lives, to make sure that we are doing what's in our power to do, to live in a way that honors you and glorifies the name Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.